Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11 a.m. with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Kia ora and welcome to the Quilted Banana Show on Access Radio, 106.1 FM. My name's Kuna, and today we have a special guest who will soon be a presenter at this Access Radio show with Quilted Bananas, and we thought we'd just like to get to know each other. So our guest name is Rochelle. Rochelle is your favourite transbian auntie and a new arrival to Aotearoa. So kia ora, Rochelle. Would you like to say something about yourself?
Kia ora. As you said, I am relatively new to Aotearoa. I'm from the U.S. I got here just over a year ago. I am an established social media personality. My primary identity online is your favorite transbian auntie. Yes.
So what's it mean to be like a transbian auntie? And, you know, how did you come up with that? And why do we all need a transbian auntie?
Well, when I started out on Facebook, I was trying to just think of who in my life was someone that I might like to emulate as a persona. And my auntie, May, was always a great source of comfort and support, and that's what I wanted to put out there. It has amused me coming to New Zealand to see how much the word auntie is in use culturally. Right when I got here, right on the train, the ad campaign they were running, "Ride like your auntie is watching."
Absolutely.
That made me smile.
Exactly. I mean, everyone needs an auntie. You know, give you that advice and look after you. And, yeah, exactly. So welcome. And that's great that you're going to be joining the Quilted Bananas show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited for the opportunity and looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to play one of your songs. Do you want to introduce what your song is?
I believe the first one will be the song "The Whole Night" by Ani DeFranco. I've been a big fan of Ani since I was introduced to her as a young, quote, male lesbian is how I identified as a kid. And Ani really pushed me into queer music. So I thought I'd share one of my favorite tracks of hers.
Within New York City's walls, and we
So you're just listening to Annie DeFranco. So, Rochelle, when it comes to being an advice giver as an auntie, what does that involve?
When I started my page, I was just kind of doing whatever came to me, and people seemed to like my takes and opinions on things, and people started asking me specific questions. So I actually set up an anonymous ask service so that people can ask me questions anonymously. And I run a bit of a Ask Auntie Advice video segment or text segment on my pages sometimes. A lot of people ask me questions about queer life, trans life. I'm also actively polyamorous, so I get some questions about that. Basically, anything that people have kind of a little question, they're not quite sure who to ask because they don't want to put their foot in their mouth, they can come and ask me anonymously and I can give my take.
So most of your sort of advice comes from your own experience.
Yeah, I'm also fairly well read. I don't have degrees or certifications, but I read a lot and I talk to a lot of people. So I try to spin that out as best I can.
Cool. Thank you. So like you've just made this huge journey from, you know, the United States to Aotearoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you're seeking asylum.
Correct.
Here from the United States. Can you tell us about that?
When I left a year ago, people kind of looked at me funny when I said, you know, I'm a trans woman, so I am fleeing the United States. In the year since I left, though, a lot more people understand why I did what I did, why I made that choice. Things are getting worse and worse over there. The transphobia is coming down from the absolute highest levels of power, and it won't be long before there's just nowhere safe in the whole country to be trans. And that's why I left. I am formally in the system here in New Zealand. I have my case and client numbers from INZ and all that good stuff. Now I'm waiting, and that's always a long wait.
So, I mean, how long do you think it might take?
The formal wait time that they say is about 18 months. But in October of 2025, a representative from Immigration reported that they were about 3,000 cases backlogged.
Wow.
And had the manpower to do about 1,000 cases in a year. My paperwork went in July of 2025, so I bet I'm close to the back end of that 3,000 plus, so that should put me in somewhere in 2028, maybe early 2029, until I have my interview.
Yeah. And do you get support to, you know, like to live here? And
I am able to qualify for the standard WINS benefit, just like anybody else here. I don't have any specific asylum support.
Mm.
I think there are some charities set up, but I think they tend to target people who are a little more disadvantaged. Like I have my, it's not a great deal of money, but I have some money that comes in from social media. I have some connections. Mm-hmm. I already speak English. I think a lot of the support is for people that would have a harder time landing than someone in my situation.
And do you think your friends would come over and join you once?
If I had the resources to be importing people, I definitely have a list.
Well, that's great. That's great. Thank you, Rochelle. So would you like to introduce your next song?
Remind me which song that is.
LP.
Oh, yes. This is the song Lost on You by lesbian artist LP. My best friend turned me on to LP a couple years ago, and I love sharing her music when I can.
Lost on You.
Listen to the Quilted Banana Show on 106.1 FM. Thank you, Rochelle. Rochelle just reminded me I had to push down that button. So, Rochelle, I was just saying how nice it was when you interview, you know, when you're chosen your songs and that you've got a connection with, mm-hmm. with each song. How did that come about?
Music has always been very, very important to me. In fact, music is... instrumental, pardon the pun, in helping me realize that I was trans, or cracking my egg, as we say in the community. I was migrating my digital music collection from one player app to another and going over old playlists and listening to songs I hadn't quite heard in a while. And then some of them were making me cry. And I'm like, well, this is not my usual reaction to these songs. So, of course, I put all of those songs on a playlist and started working through that. The one that really, really hit me was Part of Your World, the song from The Little Mermaid. And if you look at it with an eye towards it being a trans allegory, you can see that. And that really, that's what like kicked in my egg, as I say. Mm. And I'm sitting there, tears streaming down my face, and it hit me. I realized, you know what? I'm trans. And now I have a whole playlist that I put together of songs. I call it my roadmap. Songs I liked when I was a little kid up through, and things that are, you know, markers along my journey.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So we look forward to hearing your songs, you know, when you're presenting your show.
That does sound like something that would be good to put on the radio.
That would be great. So you do other social media sort of things. What are they?
My primary presence has always been on Facebook. That's where I monetize. So that's where I put most of my effort. I have a small TikTok presence. I've been trying to get motivated to do YouTube, but the ADHD isn't always so friendly with bigger scale projects. I mostly try to educate and advocate on queer life, neurodivergent life, polyamorous life. I'm also just a big giant geek, so I like talking about all the nerd stuff, and especially the intersections of nerd and geek stuff and queer stuff, you know, queer characters in science fiction and comic books and stuff like that.
And what sort of, you know, I mean, people like to give feedback. So what sort of feedback, you know, do you receive in, like, in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
From people here in Aotearoa, it's been great. I've had a couple people recognize me from TikTok and just stop me in the grocery store. Hi, love your videos. The reaction from the internet at large is a mixed bag. Being trans on the internet, showing my face, I've taken some unfriendly comments over the years, but whenever somebody comes to me and says, hey, your content made me smile, it helped me through a day. I've even had some people tell me that I helped them realize they were trans, right? And one comment like that, I always tell people, that is armor against 1,000 haters. Because these haters, they don't know me. They don't they don't know anybody. They just live to spew venom on the internet. But when somebody actually reaches out and says, hey, something you did helped me, that's real value, and that's hard to walk away from.
It kind of reminds me, you know, of just this sort of scenario where, you know, you see people throwing starfish back into the sea, and people say it's a waste of time, but then, you know, it's like, well, it made a difference in the starfish.
Right.
So, yeah, and that's a great way to deal with that negative energy.
Yeah.
It's cool. Well, we have another song for you. Would you like to introduce that song?
This is the song from Girl in Red. We fell in love in October, and I love this song so much because I met my wife, and we fell in love in October. It was 21 years ago this October, and we've been together ever since.
Hey, you're listening to Access Radio, 106.1 FM, with Kuta and Rochelle. Hey, Rochelle.
Hi.
We were going to be talking about shopping.
Oh, yes. Op shopping in particular. I love a good op shop. I was blessed in the United States. I actually lived within a few minutes drive of the physically largest thrift store in the entire country. It was a building. It was a store the size of like a Kmart. And it was all op shop inside. It was magnificent. It had a plus size clothing section for women, bigger than most op shops I've been in.
So is that what they normally do? They have all the op shops in one place?
No, this was a unique benefit in the U.S. This was, like I said, it was touted. People would drive in for hours to come to this one op shop because it was so big. But where I was at in Pennsylvania was generally good for op shops and antique malls and things like that. And I've been very pleased that we were able to find a bunch of good op shops here in Aotearoa. When we first got here, we found the Trash Palace in Porirua. Fell in love with that. And now we're in Levin. There's a couple good op shops right in Levin. We went up to Palmerston North once or twice. Palmy's okay, but boy, they are sure friendly with the traffic tickets in Palmy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we're out in the Wairarapa, and we just went up to Masterton maybe 2 weeks ago, and I think this is my favorite spot. They've got six op shops that are all in like a 1 kilometer loop.
Yes.
So it's great to just walk it and grab a little lunch somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a great day. Great day.
That's good. Well, I have to tell you, my favorite op shop is the Brooklyn Tip. And so that's got a big recycling centre there. And,
okay, where's that at?
That's in Brooklyn Road, by just down up from Ōwhiro Bay. And so it's people take the general rubbish,
okay,
and then they have a recycling area there as well.
Okay, that's kind of like how the Trash Palace is.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we used to, like, as a team, we'd go there and buy Christmas presents for each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you get some real good deals.
Oh, absolutely. We found all kinds of good stuff.
That's right. And then they had a coffee place. So you could take a date there, have a coffee, and get us something special.
Fantastic. And what queers don't love a good op shop date?
I know,
date?
A good deal. I do find that, you know, some of the op shops are getting a bit more expensive. You know,
some of them are, and sadly, it's something I think they're using basically the internet to be like, this thing is this a $5 sweater like all the other sweaters, or is this some fancy brand? So I need to charge $20 for the sweater.
Come on. So I mean, I think I told you I was trying to downsize because I've got so much stuff, and I find Marketplace on the on the Facebook quite handy. I managed to get – I had a kayak that I needed to get rid of.
Oh, nice.
You know, so I managed to get rid of that. I did give it away for free. But then, it would have cost me a couple of $100 to get rid of it. But then the worst thing is you see things, you think, oh, I might need one of those. And so while you're trying to downsize on one hand, you're just building out more stuff, which some of us are.
Oh, yeah. We definitely had to downsize when we left the U.S. My wife and I had a very, very large house that we got for cheap, a little rundown. You know how that goes. But it was so big for just two people that, of course, we filled it with stuff. So much stuff. And then, when you got to run, you can't bring all that kind of stuff. Now most of the best bits are in my mother's house because she went through and harvested from what we left behind.
Yeah. And that was like memories of you and
Yes. When we'd find something cool at the op shop, she'd be like, oh, wow, that's really neat. and now she has all that neat stuff.
Yeah. Well, you did really well to downsize so much because I think you told me you had like seven suitcases.
Yeah, we brought seven full-size suitcases, two carry-ons, and then two like bags. And yeah, that's a lot of luggage to have on a plane, but when that's your whole life, it's not that much.
So then you're just selecting specifically what you think you just can't do without.
So much clothing left behind.
Yeah.
Though, to be fair, it was very easy to cut our winter wardrobe because it literally doesn't get as cold here as it did in Pennsylvania.
So exactly.
A lot of wool we were able to not bring.
And what was the little city you're from in Pennsylvania?
Oh, we were living in an old town called Sunbury.
Sunbury.
It's just up the river from Harrisburg, which is the state capital, and it's along the Susquehanna River, which is the fourth oldest river on Earth.
So when you say the oldest river, you know, what is it? What is it like?
Well, yeah, you know, deep and slow.
Yeah,
in the Appalachian Mountains, which is the oldest mountain range on the planet.
Wow.
The river is almost older than bones.
Yeah.
Like the evolution of bones only happened just before that river started flowing.
And did people go swimming in that river?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
It was very important to the indigenous tribes that lived there. The river, the name Susquehanna, comes from the Susquehannock tribe that used to live there.
Wow.
And it basically translates to muddy feet. The river rises and swells a lot, and it gets a lot of mud. So that's where the name comes from.
Thanks very much for that, Rochelle. That was really interesting. So I'm going to play a song that you might not know. It's a favorite of mine that only because I just like listening to it. The song's called The Fade Out Line by Phoebe Kildare. We just had a bit of problem. That song didn't want to play. So I'll just get it sorted for now. I think it might be that the connection's come off it. We'll just have a look.
Well, yeah, they can't give you phones with the auxiliary cables built into them anymore.
Sorry about that. We were also going to talk about food.
I don't have a very expansive palate myself. I have autism, and part of that is ARFID. That's the whole people with safe foods level of autism. But that being said, just because I have a very narrow palate doesn't mean that I expect other people to. I've been thrilled with the vast assortment of international cuisines, you know, places from different countries. Where I was from in the U.S., you'd have Italian restaurants everywhere, and then you'd have a couple maybe Mexican cuisine, a little bit of Chinese food, but of course the Chinese food they make in America does not resemble food from China. But yeah, I love seeing all the different ethnicities here. I'd never seen a Vietnamese restaurant. I'd never seen a Thai restaurant in person. I'd never seen an Indian restaurant in person. And then the restaurants are a good part of the, I'll say, the cultural whimsy that I've noticed in New Zealand. Y'all just have more fun naming things than a lot of people in the U.S. Where I was at in Wadestown was the first time I noticed there's a little curry place there called Deli Shus, D-E-L-H-I, Deli Shus. Absolutely stopped me in my tracks on the streets of Wellington to see a Vietnamese restaurant called Where's Charlie. Coming from the U.S., that's very war-related verbiage there. And then I found an Indian place in Palmerston North called Arranged Marriage.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe there was a restaurant called Arranged Marriage.
Yeah, I was just thinking about delicious. Now I realize what that means. So there's quite a bit of variety, even though you might not like, you know, the specific styles. Yeah, I think I like to, you know, this is me. When I like to cook something and just eat it for 3 days. And then if there's something special, maybe I'll just go out. But
I make my own mac and cheese, like from raw ingredient. Make my own little roux and my own sauce.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the cheese here, the dairy in general in New Zealand is hands down,
really
vastly superior to the stuff from the U.S.
Yeah.
Now there's some U.S. butter trying to creep in here, and everybody can see the stark difference between what counts as dairy in the U.S. and what y'all have here.
Exactly. They're saying it looks like a butter from Christchurch, but it's just cheaper. So, So do they use a lot of sort of, you know, is it proper butter, do you think?
Or is it? The primary difference comes from how you feed the cows. Here in New Zealand, most of the cows eat grass. They're wild, quote, wild and happy. And that produces a particular kind of milk. In the U.S., most cattle are industrial farmed. They're fed just feed rather than allowed to munch on some grass. And it changes the quality of their milk, which goes downstream and changes the cheese and the butter and all that stuff.
Mm. Well, that's very interesting. Thank you, Rochelle.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm going to try and play the song again. We'll see how we go. And if we don't, we'll just go and talk about something else.
Okay, here we go.
You're listening to Access Radio on 106.1 FM.
So late in my grave, holding the gaps and they can't get up, pulling up the ropes and they get so tough. Strategy, thoughts, till I'm on the top. And I won't crack your head. The lies, the truth, to ease the pain. You know you got to say, I think. Child forced to lose again. Now they recognize your name. Simple word is all I say. No more lies and arguments. Start again, start again. Turn around, don't you come back this way. I hold my ground, never take your judgment. Ooh, oh. Turn around, don't you come back this way. I hold my ground, never take your judgment. So why you gotta lie for? Why you gotta speak for? Why you wanna tell all the things that you know we just don't agree on? Oh my bad, did I put you down so sad? So you blame myself, you mad? But do I care or where? Get off the bus or ride yourself. I'ma turn it around, get in the mouth, settle me out, figure it out. Speak your mind, define me. Hold up, hold up. You gotta tell me now so we can figure it out. Let me know what you've been thinking about. Ooh, oh. Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Nah, 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 no. Turn around, don't you come back this way. I hold my ground, never take your judgment. Ooh, oh. Turn around, don't you come back this way.
Just been listening to Solarosa, Turn Around.
Which was a very, very cool track, by the way.
It was a Kiwi track.
Yeah.
A Kiwi band there.
I got a coming from the US, I know like Flight of the Conchords. That's about it as far as Kiwi music goes.
Well, there's a whole, you've got a few years to learn about them all.
Indeed, indeed.
But you're also a muso. You come from a music background, is that
right? Yeah,
I
was a singer for many years back in the States, formally trained through school and all that jazz. Went competitive one year, even made it all the way to state choir. So you'd have your school choir, and then there was like a regional choir, which might be like, for example, here, maybe you get into the Wellington Choir. And then there would be another level above that in the U.S. There'd be like two levels in the U.S. because it's such a, so much bigger of a country. But I made it to, you know, like the best 200 kids in the whole state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So that was cool. When I did my audition, I was terrified. And I was literally shaking while I was singing. And, you know, the judges are in a different room just listening. Comes back and I find out that I qualify. I'm going to be advanced. And there was a note on my scoring about how strong my vibrato was. But it's literally because I was just shaking in fear that I had this very strong vibrato. But then I was able to remember how that felt inside my body and able to do it on command more. So that was fun.
So, like, do most schools have choirs? And
yeah.
Is it more prevalent now with places like The Voice? And
I'm really not sure, because all of the American Idol, The Voice, the show Glee, all of that was after my time in high school. My particular high school choir director was very invested, though, because she had been a professional musician who didn't quite make it. So then she got into teaching, but she was really gung-ho when we would do shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. 1 year we did a Phantom of the Opera medley.
Yeah,
I sang one of the Phantom parts, but we had costumes and lighting, a smoke machine. I actually was out in the audience for part of it, just bursting out with song, and I scared some little old lady who was standing next to me. I've always really enjoyed singing, and I get very dramatic with it. And since transitioning, it has helped with my voice training. Because I know I don't have necessarily super high voice, but my regular voice is much more down here. And that's where I was trained to sing at bass two, the lowest of the low. But since I learned how to use my vocal cords as an instrument, once I wanted to elevate my tone a little bit after transition, I've mostly done it through singing.
Yeah.
I just find the songs that I can modulate up to like a femme register. I find whiny 90s men do very well for this for me, like Oasis and Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
I'm able to step those voices up into a femme range fairly well.
And, like, do you ever train people on how to use their voices?
No. Yeah. I've never. I mean, maybe if a person I knew wanted some tips, but I'm definitely not qualified to
say,
hey, I
can. That's an empty tip, maybe.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, I thought I might go for another song.
Sure.
And this song is Chained to the Rhythm by Amethyst Kia.
Okay.
Are we crazy living our lives through land, trapped in our white picket fence like ornaments? So comfortable we living in a bubble, so comfortable we cannot see the trouble. Aren't you lonely? Utopia, where nothing ever be enough, happily known. So comfortable we living in a bubble, so comfortable we cannot see the trouble. So good, your rose-colored glasses are. Distortion, turn it up, keep it on repeat, stumbling around like a wasted
And that was Amethyst Kier, Chain to the Rhythm, a Katy Perry cover. Speaking of covers,
I love a good cover collection,
don't you?
I do. I love a good cover, especially when they really do something different with the song. You know, some other pop artist's cover of a pop song, that doesn't usually do much for me. But I love Postmodern Jukebox. I love an acoustic cover of a song. I have a whole playlist that is covers that go hard. And then I have a whole different playlist that is Acoustic Femmes, which has rather a lot of covers on them. And we were just talking that could be something that I feature on at least one of my episodes once I have my own show running here. And also I had mentioned how songs, you know, there are some songs that have been really important to me personally, helping me crack my egg, helping me map my journey. I thought I could play some of those songs and talk about why they're important to me and all that jazz. Just try to make more of a personal connection to the music that I like to share with people. And I've always found that sharing music with people and then what they share back can be a really keen insight into who someone is and how they conduct themselves out in the world, right? If somebody says that their favorite bands and all they listen to is like Nine Inch Nails and Rage Against the Machine, those are great bands. But if that's all somebody listens to, they might be a little too aggressive for my tastes. You know, it just gives you good insight when you know what music people like.
And so, you know, when you're thinking about your show and we're thinking about how would people get in contact with the Transbian Auntie? How do they make connection with that?
Well, my primary presence on the internet is on Facebook, where you can find me as Your Favorite Transbian Auntie. I have other pages that have different names. The other one I would plug would be Cracked Egg Productions. That's a proper business that I set up in the United States. The intention is being an umbrella for trans and queer creatives to come together and do something as a team that's greater than any of us could do independently. Yeah. Back in the U.S., there's a guy named Tyler Perry, and he has said that he wanted to build a Black Hollywood because Black folks in the U.S. don't get as many opportunities as white folks. And it struck me that if someone could set out to build a, quote, Black Hollywood, well, then I can set out to build a queer Hollywood. I may not succeed, but, you know, it's a goal.
Yeah, so I think, you know, like some local artists or Kiwi artists, and Jason Momoa just set up, you know, brought this sort of a studio in Auckland to set up Pacifica.
Oh, right,
you know,
on.
Pacifica sort of film.
That's
so
awesome.
That's pretty awesome, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah.
It's been really interesting talking to you, Rochelle.
Well, it's been great being on.
Thank you for coming in, and certainly really look forward to your show and all that you bring, you know, all the skills that you bring, and hope it all goes well.
Well, as I said before, I'm really excited for the opportunity, and I've always loved music, and I'm really keen on sharing it with everybody.
Fabulous. So we're just going to go out with another cover. This is from Moana and the Moor Hunters. She's a Māori woman who, you know, she does news interviews now, but this is a favourite song of mine. And we're just going to sign out and thank you, folks, for listening.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Just living for each other, answering to no one. know they won't pick you. But you're my Miss Phenomenal. I love you. Black pearl, precious little girl, let me put you up where you belong. Black pearl, pretty little girl, you've been in the background much too long. They won't pick you, but you're my Miss Phenomenal. I love you.
I got a black pearl, she makes my world. I wouldn't leave her no, cause she's a real, the real deal. Brown girl, sound girl, we get down. Now one should be known to talk, that's where you're bound. So I'm gonna put you up where you belong, with power strong. Too long in the background, you've been put down. Too long wrong, you've been treated wrong. It ain't on the foreground, where you belong. It's just a stand strong, stand strong. Stand strong in the morning, stand strong. Stand strong in the night, stand strong. Stand strong in the morning, stand strong. It feels so right, cause life is what you need. Nature, how could they exist? You pick your power, no one will miss your vision. You're a mighty treasure. I'm gonna put you up where you belong. We gotta put you up where you belong.
Black pearl,
I got a black pearl,
precious little girl,
she makes my world.
Let me put you up where you belong.
Let me put you up where you belong, girl.
Black pearl,
I got a black pearl,
pretty little girl,
she makes my world.
You've been in the background much too long.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.